September 3rd, 2020. Roll call, Howard Alstorf.
Nate Fries.
Jeff Honeycutt.
All right, good deal. I guess let's get into it. Ken, do we let you all start presenting, or how do we want to go about this?
Well, it's up to you guys. Do we have the ability to share our screens, I guess would be the question. Vic?
You should be able to.
Okay. Well, I'm going to log in on a separate account if you don't care, because it's easier for me to share my other screen than it is this one. So I'll be coming in just a second. As Ken Rich.
Are the materials that we're going to be looking at, have those been emailed out to us so we can follow along on our own or no?
They are to Howard and Aaron. And I apologize for getting them to you so late, but we just sent them a few minutes ago. I wasn't sure how you guys were going to conduct this meeting.
Aaron or Howard, would it be possible for you guys to forward them to Nate and I?
I just got it, so I'm pushing them out now.
Thank you.
Sorry, while Ken's getting logged into, you were talking about the positions that were, I got in the very last part of that. All the positions that were vacant have been or are being filled. Is that what I heard?
As I heard it, Nate, we have two positions that are already in the budget. Correct. And they're budgeted for. They just need to be replaced because they're empty right now.
We have one that's, sorry.
Oh, so one question, but this goes back to that email thread that we were discussing. I believe there were five teaching positions that were vacant that were existing positions and two non-teaching positions prior to the special ed, because I believe the elementary sped position moved up into the high school, creating a vacancy in elementary school. Is that still the case, or have those been filled?
It's my understanding that five positions were not going to be refilled, which did include those two positions. We then had three that were not filled. Percussion was one. I'd have to look up all of them, but the others were programs that let me just look it up, because I don't remember if all of the five were actually teaching positions.
One was they combined two classes.
Yes.
Aaron, yes, I think one wasn't one a special ed aid position that wasn't replaced.
Correct. That's correct. And that has not been replaced.
So, Aaron, and I'll need to update Tony, but I think at the next board meeting, we need to have complete clarification on what open positions we actually have and what positions are not filled. Because if that money is not being spent right now, that's going to be impactful to the bottom line.
And I know that's the news. If there are seven positions that we're not filling from 2019 and into 2020, I think that's going to catch a lot of people off guard, because I know that's not something that I was aware of, but I would imagine there'd be others that would feel the same way. So we want to make sure we're communicating that accurately.
Okay, but for the purpose of this meeting, all we have right now are two positions that we're aware of that are empty, they're budgeted for, they just need to be filled.
And let me clarify on that. One is not empty. The individual is going to be leaving.
Correct.
As the high school registrar, we have a current high school registrar now. They are going to be leaving, so we just need to fill that position. So it was never a part of. Now, that was one that they said that they were not going to refill. But we were going to include it. And then the other is the special ed that is vacant. We do not have somebody, but there is, it has been in the budget for 2020, 2021.
Okay. Hey, Aaron and Debbie, real quick. Your guys, I don't mean, are you, I think everybody else is noticing this too. Your video is real choppy and the audio is kind of in and out. It might be, if you guys kill your video feed, that might improve your the quality of your audio.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and attempt to share this at this point if you guys are ready.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Ken.
I went ahead and stopped their video.
Okay.
Well, I stopped it. Does that help? Yes.
So far, it sounds much better.
All right.
Okay, so this is your revenue stream. This is last year's state aid notice. This is the final state aid notice for the previous school year, 1920. And there's a lot of good information for board members on this, and several of you are already familiar with it, but for those who are not, basically gives you the data across the top with regards to what your enrollment cap is, what grade levels you serve, and what your estimated enrollment on July 1. And then what you what your three-quarter average was last year. So as you can see last year, if you'll drop down to, there's not really a line, but under the word funding here, you were funded at a little over $7 million from foundation funding because you got $6,899 per student last year for funding. So I'll show you how that compares to this current year here in just a second. You got facilities funding, $514 per student. You'll get facilities funding again this year. It's not on your new worksheet, but it'll probably be more, a little lower. We have more, charter school students now in the state of Arkansas, and it's only a set $7.5 million to be spread across the entire state based upon the number of students. So kind of just give you an idea how that goes.
So Ken, real quickly, on that funding that you just talked about for facilities, does that specifically have to be spent on facilities, or are there other provisions for that?
Yeah, it has to be spent on either rent, bond payment, renovation, repair, or construction.
Okay, thank you.
You only get $523,000, and you have at least, you know, a lot more than that in a bond payment. So typically what we would do is go ahead and pay that and use that for your bond payment. It's just assistance toward paying that bond payment. But you have a choice. If you wanted to use it for construction, renovation, repair, you could. Then you're just going to have to use operating money to pay your bond payment.
And what do you have a gut feeling for what that number will be this year, or is that yet to be determined?
Bond payment?
No, is this amount right here, the $523,000, what we're going to get this year as well?
No. Probably is going to be somewhere in the ballpark of.
I hope it's not that.
It won't be zero.
It will not be in the ballpark of zero.
First state aid notice they sent out last year, or for this year, doesn't have it. Let me. Okay.
So yet to be determined, I guess.
It is, but I'm going to say somewhere around, well, probably about 527.
So quick question on this, Ken, just for historical understanding. I'm looking at the upper right-hand quarter, or where there was looking at, where it's looking at student growth if prior year funded. Can you tell me, is it, I'm just trying to see why the growth number was so much higher in 2018-19 versus the others.
Okay, so what happens is this. In the fourth quarter of 18-19, they compare the number of students that are there to the three-quarter average from 17-18. So you probably had some pretty significant growth during that year. And that's 203 students more than what your three-quarter ADM was for 17-18. And then you get one-fourth of the foundation funding multiplied by that 203 students for that 350,000.
So it's safe to guess if we were to look retrospectively even further behind that, we'd see some lower admission numbers, like significantly lower admission numbers.
Previous years, if you look back over at 17-18, your ADM was 803, and it went to 1,018. You had a big jump. You probably got a cap increase, probably somewhere along that line. Well, I don't see one. Maybe built a building or something at that point.
Yeah.
And as you see how growth funding last year was a big part of your revenue. Without the growth funding, obviously it would have been a tough year. But fortunately, you're going to be in pretty much that same position this year for growth funding. And we'll cover that in a second. Because your numbers are up pretty good right now. Now, realize that you're at your cap now, basically. I think Aaron said the other day, you're just a few students below your cap. So that might not be the case going forward into any subsequent school years after this one. The growth funding won't be there because we don't have anywhere to grow with regards to the cap. But I'm estimating growth funding, charter facilities funding next year, probably around, I'm doing conservative, about $475 per student. You'll have more students, but that'll be about $529,000 probably. ELL is for your students that are speak English as their second language. You don't get a lot of money there. It's restricted. You spend that money really quick. That's not really a problem to spend that small amount of money, but it is restricted. ESA money is money that schools get from the state. It's additional categorical money that schools can spend in restricted ways. Now, there's about 33 different ways I think you can spend that money, but it is restricted. And you get $526 per child because your free and reduced rate is below 70%. If you got above 70%, it would double to $1,000. And it is restricted funds. You spend it in certain ways. Professional development money must be spent for professional development only. Almost $28,000 there last year. Then you saw your student growth funding was last year a significant part of your budget. You guys last year were in an interesting situation because you're really, really growing fast. You got a lot of new expenses, and that growth funding helped carry you to that point. So I looked at this year.
Is there a typical avenue that we end up spending that professional development funding? I guess it's more of a question for maybe Aaron.
Can you repeat the question again? I'm sorry.
For professional development, is there a typical avenue or a typical way we end up spending that in a given year, or does that fluctuate from year to year? I'm assuming that means, you know, like continuing ed and things like that, but I guess I need to understand that better.
It ranges from a variety of different things, anything to where professional development for each one of our teachers, especially if you're looking at like our AP classes, every teacher that teaches an advanced placement will have to go through some type of training. So the funding will be used for that. That usually involves travel for them to go out of state to do so. We have our annual professional development at the beginning and at the ending of the year. We have professional development software. There's lots of different kinds of ways, but it will all be to equip the teachers for training and professional.
Okay, so flipping to this current year preliminary state aid notice, you'll notice that we're looking at a projected enrollment of 1,210. I think we're even above that. Last year's three-quarter average, 1,110, we're funded at 7.796 million last year, just a little over 7 million. So you can see the increase in foundation funding. Facilities funding, we said we won't be much difference. Enhanced student achievement funding, 163 compared to 145, so a slight increase. And professional development funding goes from 27.9 up to almost 40,000. So we have a slight increase there. Notice that we started off the school year once again with some good growth in the fourth quarter of last year. So had 1,107 students compared to the three-quarter ADM from the previous year over here. So we got $156,000 in growth funding coming. I say coming because these first two, the fourth quarter and first quarter, we do not receive that funding until December. So we will not get that. If our number holds true and we still have a 1,200 students, then we're going to get a good year of growth funding. If you stay at your current number, you're going to be probably over about $725,000 in growth funding this year. I will let you know that in the budget, we have been conservative and just put it at 600,000. And we will need to adjust that quickly if something changes with regards to enrollment. So if we get to the end of the first quarter or 2 or 3 weeks from now, we have to drop some students based on this new deadline the state has for dropping students at the end of the month, and we see there's going to be less students, then we'll want to take a look at that, because we don't want to be over projecting our student growth for sure.
So one other question, thinking about growth, or I should say the budget, in relation to this particular area of revenue. I think you already explained that it's dependent on growth. So if we stay flat from one quarter to the next, that would that dollar amount be zero?
No. So we're going to be comparing the first quarter to last year's three-quarter average over here, 1,110. So if we're going to be sitting at, I don't know what we're at today, Aaron, do you know?
I think it's like 1,200.
It was 1,217.
1,217 was our last number.
So if we stay at 1,217.
1,225.
If we say, I think Bonnie and I used 1,217 the other day. So 1,217 minus the 1,110.
So if we cap out, whatever that number is, safe to say a year after a full year at cap, that growth funding would go away.
Absolutely. No growth funding next year to speak of, no matter what, if we're studying at that number this year for the entire year.
Okay.
If we're 1,217 for the year and we can only go to 1,225, then growth funding really is negligible next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Foundation money.
So I want to take you to a board report from the previous, this is how we ended the previous school year. And I know it says Benton County School of the Arts, and I apologize for that. We're running several years of software here, and I don't know when the changeover was made, but I got to get that name changed. We started last year with an operating balance of $146,000, almost $500,000. That was our operating balance at the beginning of last year. We ended the year at $320,000. So that was a pretty good financial year for the school, considering you had a lot of things going on with enrollment and growth. Remember, we had a large amount of growth money last year to handle that, but that's what it's for. You're growing school, that's what's going on. I'm gonna kind of show you how these are broke down. Teacher salary always zeroes out. We have to have a separate teacher salary fund. We have to show revenue and expense separately for teacher salaries. And then in a typical board report, we'll have a beginning balance, revenue, expense, and an ending balance for our operating budget, which all starts with a 2. So anything that starts with a 2 is going to be operating. You can see those categories. Anything that starts with a 3 is building fund. So we had some facility money from a grant, and then we had some regular facility money. That's just normal. Anything that starts with a 6 is federal programs. So federal programs is reimbursement, basically. Federal government, you spend the money, we get reimbursed. Title I and special ed are your two largest categories.
And those are things you have to, well, never mind, answer my own question.
Restricted funds can only be spent in certain ways, and they give you the money to spend it. You know, you don't gain any balances there. There is a slight balance there, and but not much. And 7,000 or 7, anything starts with a 7 for a fund is activity funds. You have a lot of activity funds, different groups, different classes, whatever. These are school funds when they get deposited there, but more than likely they've been raised from fundraisers, you know, that type of thing. I do want to point out any misconceptions I think there might have been with, I don't think that since we've been involved since the last November or so, there's never been any money taken out of activity funds. You were basically, at some points during the year when your balances were low, were depending upon that balance for cash flow, but those funds, as far as I know, since November have been, you know, intact and used properly.
So if that's not used, if that's not used through the school year, that just stays in the balance until next year, or what happens at the end of the year?
Yeah, it just stays in the balance. You can't have a negative balance. It's against the law to have a negative balance in activity fund.
Okay.
So you'll have to stay on top of that with groups or classes or whoever's handling those things. And anything that starts with an 8 is food service. And I heard you guys talking about food service when we jumped on, and you know, everybody's going to get the free meal for a short period of time, at least through December 31st, which is, I think someone was saying, you're going to get a much better reimbursement than you probably normally do. So that's probably going to be a positive for your food service program for at least half the year.
So where did, and I may have missed it, where does lease or rent or debt payment, where does that fall into this?
3,000, right?
It's paid.
That is facility fund. Bonnie, where did you pay that from?
That's okay. Well, it is going to be paid split out of three funds this next year. It's going to be paid from operating. It's also going to be paid from this 3,400 right there where you are, the facilities funding. And it's also going to be paid from student growth money.
From what was the last one? I'm sorry.
The student growth money, fund 2217.
So that's, what is the total, or what's the annual expected expense that we're having for paying that debt?
Well, let's see here.
I'm going to throw that screen over there if you don't care.
And Bonnie, I'm sorry, I know you're looking for that. What was the, you said it was coming out of the 3,400?
3,400 facilities funding.
Growth. And what was the first thing?
Just regular operating fund, 2,200.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys do know that you got some, you know, some new payments with regard to facilities. I think this is where you're at, Bonnie. Is that correct?
Yes, but I had some comments about that. The loan repayment to Bank of the Ozarks last year was $1,303,338. This year, 2021, it's going to be $1,582,738. That's total, you know, divided out of the three funds from which we're going to pay it.
So that's an increase of $200,000 and change. Did I hear that right?
$279,000, I think.
Okay, so almost $300,000. Okay, so let's go.
Right. And then there is a $5 million loan payback that we're going to start in the, it's an annual payment, $125,000 a year, and it starts in June of 2021.
So that's $425,000 of expense.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm gonna share your comments, Bonnie. I think that would be.
That's what I was looking at, too.
Let me share those. I think this kind of get to what you're. Before we go to that, I think I showed you that first screen that we ended the year at 320 something thousand. And this year, our budget projection to end the year, let me go ahead and just get that out of the way first. It's 445,000
in operating.
So. In operating, yeah. Mm-hmm. Projecting our ending operating balance last year, you know, we went from 145,000 to 320. We're looking at this year going to 445,000.
That's what we plan on. Is that what we plan on ending the year with?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So that's 300,000 difference in operating budget, but we just said we've got 425,000 difference in expense for the facility. How did we come up with that other $125,000, $150,000?
We had some cut costs as well. And remember, we're getting additional funding, right? So we had additional foundation funding.
Growth? Are you referring to growth?
And no foundation funding.
I don't think we talked about that, Ken, maybe on the state aid.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I think I showed that that we had an increase in our I've got a bad share going here because I got so many different screens going. That's not the normally the way I share it. I know I'm sure one screen, I can just pull everything over there. All right. So, yeah, a little over $7 million in foundation funding last year. This year we're going to $7.8 million. So we have increase in funds as well.
Is that something that we feel like long-term, is that something that's sustainable that we can depend on?
Well, it's all based upon the number of students times the funding rate. Okay. So per student this year, we get $7,018 per student.
Right.
Last year,
it was
6,899. Yeah. The legislature will be meeting again this spring, and they'll determine what it's going to be for next year. So, you know, we'll know by this spring what the increase is going to be. The last few years, it's been just, 1%. A little over 1%, 1.5%, somewhere in there has been the typical increase.
Does it ever go down?
Has not gone down.
Okay.
Since Lakeview.
I mean that it won't, I suppose, but
I think it could remain
speaking, right?
Yeah, it can remain more steady. That's one thing we should be thankful for in Arkansas. We have a lot of states around us that get their budgets cut a lot of times, get their funding cut, and we've been pretty fortunate in Arkansas to not take cuts with regards to education.
Hey, Ken, can I just say something real quickly?
Absolutely.
So, Jeff and Nate, part of what you're seeing here, and you're asking all the right questions, but this is the same problem we have dealt with year after year after year since we started the charter school, is that we know we get to a point where we're capped, and we need to make sure that we're mindful of additional expenses that we're taking on, plus when we're increasing salaries year over year, which, Ken, I'm assuming there's an increase in these numbers somewhere. A step increase?
Your step increases, the average is about 525.
Okay,
per step. And then if a person goes from a bachelor's to a master's, the base salary, I think, increases $3,000.
Okay.
But from one year to the next, so.
My point being here is, as we continue our steps, we need to be mindful of where our additional income is coming from, which is why we need to start having more financial goals on the superintendent on other revenue streams coming into the school.
Agreed. Yeah, because I have to say, looking at this, it's kind of scary. Thinking about the ability to predict our ability to keep this going when we're dependent on legislature and growth funding and some of these other things, like it does get a bit concerning.
So that number that Ken just told us about what we would end the year with, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah. So that's with the new. That's the forecast. That's what's budgeted anyway. And that's with the additional building expenses, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That includes all that.
Being cash positive at the end of the year, that was including all the new expenses.
Yeah. It looks like that's the budget. So with the additional building expenses, $445,000. Was that what the number was? 400 something?
Yes. Something like that.
Okay.
Ken, you mentioned some cuts in that difference between that 425 and the 300 or so that we saw as far as civil difference. Can you elaborate on what those were?
Your salaries were down slightly going into this year. That's one.
Say it one more time.
Well, salaries are up. I'm sorry. Bonnie, you might want to explain this comparison because this is yours. This is what we were looking at with regards to any new fixed costs for this year.
So y'all can see that it's when we've already talked about the Bank of the Ozarks and the Walton Family Foundation loan payback, those increases. I just listed out some of the things that we know we have to pay the Midwest bus lease. There's an Apple iPad lease. There's a couple of Chromebook leases. Now, some of these items are going to be able to be charged to the ESA fund. We have $61,105 this year that we can use for CARES, for the CARES Act. It's called ESSER, and I can't remember exactly what that acronym stands for, but that money can be used for like PPE equipment and things like that. And we've got quite a bit of money in RMAC funding, thanks to Ms. Terry Harrell, who stays on top of that and makes sure that people get coded correctly. In fact, she's got somebody coming from another school next week to help them figure out why they're not getting more of a reimbursement on RMAC funds, and that's a federal fund. And a lot of that money this year, we're, instead of budgeting out of operating for nurse supplies and things like that, the principals have already started doing purchase orders, and we're paying for a lot of things out of RMAC money because we had a good balance there.
And you guys do a good job with RMAC. It's very good.
Yes, yes. And the principals have been very, very thoughtful this year. I think they were trying to save money, knowing that we were looking at capping out on student growth in the future, in the near future probably. And they were, I think that's one reason they were trying to spread out some of the people that they had, maybe that had small classes or that could teach more than one subject or something. They were trying to be very thoughtful and not have to rehire a bunch of positions. And the utilities, I did increase the amount for utilities just because we don't know how many months we're going to be in school this year, which will increase utilities. So we're looking at those things. We've got in the budget, in the categorical funds, the ones that are restricted that start with a 2, the ones that were restricted, we fully budgeted all those funds this year. And we have also done the same thing in the federal funds, the funds that start with a 6. And the reason being is that, you know, we legitimately need to spend those funds first before we cut into the operating funds. But also this past year, due to COVID, they released everybody, waived the carryover allotment limit. It was like a 15% aggregate or something like that. They didn't make anybody adhere to that in 1920 because everything had changed so dramatically because of COVID. But normally you cannot carry over a large amount in those categorical or federal funds. So we have fully budgeted that. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to spend all of it, but we do have it budgeted. And a lot of the technology and hotspots and things like that we might need for virtual learning and for software and things like that have been budgeted towards some of those categorical and federal funds instead of coming from operating. So
quick question. On the ending balance, where obviously that just flips over year to year, but comparing us to, let's say, other local schools around here or other charter schools around, what is typically a number that we would need, or it's a safe number to be at? Like, how much do we invest of that? Like you said, Howard, that's a good number to have. I'm curious, you know, like where I'm from, where I work, if you're budgeted a number, if you don't spend it, you don't get it next year type of thing, right? So we always want to make sure we're investing into facilities, teachers, whatever, students, all those things, right? I guess from y'all's perspective, though, is $400,000 too much of a surplus at the end of the year? And should we be focusing on other things to do with that money? Or is that a pretty decent number to have in the bank for, you know, things that should and could go wrong throughout the year? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small amount. It would be on the lower end. What the state has decided for, and charter schools don't have this number target to hit, but traditional schools, they have to keep a balance of lower than 20% of their revenues. So if you took your revenues and 20%, that's what the state thinks is a normal amount. The school district I used to run, we kept about 25% as a safety net, actually. I could send you some comparisons of you guys and some other schools. Now, I will say this, in a charter, especially depends upon a lot of things. Number one, how many years the charter been in existence, and your student count, and, you know, what kind of facilities costs you're incurring at the time, all those things will play into it. But you can see, and just like every school, the majority of your money is spent on salaries. Any business, you know, staffing is the number one item. You can see you've got $6.3 million out of, you know, a little over $8 million there. And what we see for charter schools is the percentage of expenditures for salary and benefits typically is around 70%. It might get, for some charters, it'll actually be in the 60s. Most of your traditional schools, it's somewhere between 70 and 75%. And one reason for that is charter schools do tend to outsource more a lot of times. They won't have the employee costs for custodial or cafeteria sometimes that, or buses that other schools might have. So you kind of want to look at that as a, you know, the board does need to have an idea of what kind of balance that you think is appropriate for emergencies, for loss of students, possibly. You know, you hope that never happens. Doesn't happen in charter schools very often at all, but, you know, just being prepared for anything that might occur. It's nice to have a little bit set back. And you guys are moving in that direction over the last 3 years.
Yeah, so Nate, it's never been a problem with it. You have to spend it or you lose it. We've always kept that out there to some extent, just in case we run across something that breaks and we need some money to get something fixed.
Yeah, I'm wanting to share this again. I think I can show you. I'll have to go to a different one, but let me go ahead and show you this. This will kind of show your expenditure over time here. Notice on this one, I've got Arts Academy pulling up just fine, but so this is your percentage of expenditures for salary and benefits as applied to the total expenditures. So last year, 73%. Year before, 67, 63, 65. But we had a pretty large increase in students as well. One of the things that we could look at a little bit over here on this other side is, this is, of all the salary and benefits that we have, what's our source of payment? We don't pay very many people out of federal and categorical, and one of the reasons may be is we don't have a lot of extra people. You know, if you have a lot of extra people, then you can sometimes shift those over there. If they're above and beyond state requirements, they can go in those categories. But
I see this as showing spending. Does it show actual FTE count? Or can we see that as well for as far as from 17, 18 to 19 to 20?
Let's look at it over time. On the right side, this is your three-quarter average. Remember, that's what you're funded on. You're funded on that amount each year, next year.
Yeah, that's students. I'm talking about full-time employees, FTEs.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we do not have access to your employees on this software.
Okay.
I apologize.
But we have access to the cost of the employees?
Yes. And we do have it in e-finance. I just don't have that pulled up. That's what Bonnie works in. But this is your salary and benefits comparison over the last 3 years, 4 years. So let me just go ahead and look at certified people only first. So that's actual dollars for salary and benefits. And we pay those out of different funds. Sometimes you got some federal dollars here, and local dollars is fund one. And all your benefits we paid out of operating.
Bonnie, if it's possible, it doesn't need to be right now. If it's possible to see actual employee counts as opposed to the expense, that'd be good just as a side conversation.
I was looking to see if I had this report of mine totaled up, and it doesn't have totals. But I can do that.
Okay.
I can get that to you.
There's your classified increase over the last year. And I know we've jumped around all over the place.
That's my fault.
I apologize, but.
Yeah, honey, cut.
I know. Knock it off, man. Quit asking questions.
To be honest, this is the main sheet for this school year, showing where you finished last year versus what we budget for this year. That's the most important thing. You know, it's easy to get really, really deep in the weeds. What I like to say is this: you guys are in a unique situation right now. You got an interim superintendent. We're going to have a new superintendent coming in. You really need to have, you know, some idea of how your finances work, but it falls upon the, you know, the school leader to make finance decisions and recommendations, you know, to the board, and the board works with the superintendent and oversees those. But, you know, it's not really the board's job to get in and micromanage the budget, you know, per se, when we talk about, you'll hear that in some school board training sessions, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. This situation is definitely unique when we're kind of, yeah, that position is somewhat in flux. And it helps Nate and I know a ton to be able to understand what we're looking at too. Because looking at it once a month or once a quarter, it's Greek unless we get in and do this. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, but Ken, to add on to that, we do see it on a monthly basis, and we are. By going through this gives us an opportunity to really dig into it and at least ask some of the finer details about what's going on.
Yep. And that's important. And I think that's a good reason that you guys have put together what many schools do, and that's a finance committee. It takes a little closer look, you know, and understands it a little better, especially for new board members. You'll continue to understand it more and more as you go along. You know, you'll have some training sessions when we talk about things in more detail. I'm sure you'll have some work sessions like this as well, where maybe you focus on a certain area instead of just jumping all over the place. But when is the new leader expected to be on board?
September 9th. I think he's supposed to be in town. Aaron, when is it?
September 14th is his first day.
September?
September 14th.
Okay.
But he's going to be in the area on the 9th or the 10th?
He arrives on Wednesday evening, the 9th. He will come in to do some paperwork. He's looking for a place to live. And I know he has some things he's kind of doing then. But yes, that following Monday is his first day.
Okay, good deal.
So that would be after your board meeting, though, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I mentioned the other day, Howard, as far as you know, how schools have options. This budget has to be submitted before the end of this month. It can be approved at the next board meeting as we look at it, and we'll send it to you in a little bit different fashion there so you can take a look at it. But most boards basically are looking at three of these things: beginning balance, revenue, expenditures, ending balance. That's what's going to look like. That's what you're going to approve as a total, much like I showed you a minute ago. And then the reason I said some schools might wait, have special board meetings later in the month and approve it later. Sometimes that's just out of necessity because they couldn't get it done on time. You know, they just couldn't get the budget done by the board meeting time. But I didn't know if you guys might want to consider that just because you have the new leader coming in. If you don't, that's fine.
I mean, I'm open for suggestions, but I don't know if it's going to change significantly.
No, I mean, I think Aaron, Bonnie, Terry, the people there have all done a good job putting this together. And here's the thing about it. I've looked at it, And I feel good about it. We had a lot of conversations with Bonnie about it. And I know early on, I was concerned about just the amount of money that we might have in employee salaries if we didn't just take a good check at the end of the year and make sure that we weren't filling positions that we didn't have to. That was the bottom line, because we're at a point with salaries that if it gets to be a whole lot more of a percentage of our budget, it's going to become problematic. So just got to take a good look at there. One of the things that we attempted to do with Ms. Lay, and that was to start some adjunct employees, adjunct instructors, if they might need somebody for just a class or two. And we need to take a look at that again before next year, because really we didn't intend for those people to be employees. We were going to pay salary and benefits on that. They were going to be contractors, and just contract for a certain hour there or whatever. And I know Future School in Fort Smith does that quite a bit. Just some one-off certain courses that are, you don't need a full-time teacher for. So I think we can take a look at that before next year, but it's too late for this year because it's already in place. It's already been approved and it's there.
And I wanted to say along that line, the schools have to pay a matching 14.5% this year, and it's going up 0.25% every year for teacher retirement. And an adjunct that could have just been paid a contracted amount, when they're paid on payroll, we're paying 14.5% plus the 0.0765. We're paying 22.15% benefits for those people also, which is an increase over what they are already getting. That's why Ken's saying it's, more beneficial financially to not pay them on a payroll basis.
Do we have a feel for how many,
I think we have three adjuncts now.
Three.
That we're paying on payroll. Mm-hmm.
One of the recent positions that was a full-time fashion design has now been adjunct. Just to let you know, when I first came on, New Mexico School for the Arts is one that I just really, really like their program. And so when I came on board, a number of us went out to go visit to see how it operated. And that's kind of a model. So if anybody wants to kind of take a look at New Mexico School for the Arts, you'll be able to kind of see how they lay these things out with their adjuncts, specifically in the fine arts.
Now, one thing that we started working closely with you guys, I think in November, December last year, and Bonnie's been with this
March.
So the more in tune that Bonnie gets with everything that's going on there, and she really has done a good job and works with Terry and everybody there at the office,
Debbie.
I think that things are just going to get better and better. And Debbie, too,
yeah.
You have any other questions, or is there anything else we can cover tonight? Well, I'm sure we'll be presenting the budget at the board meeting as well. And it will be a little more streamlined.
For me, just, and Jeff was mentioning it, the full-time employee count. I think, Aaron, from the beginning of the meeting, if we could have a little bit of an explanation of what's left as far as those nine positions, what should have been filled, what hasn't been filled, just a little more detail on what that looks like. And then Bonnie, the full-time employee counts. I think that would help me. I think sure. Where it was going to kind of put the pieces together of what the budget looks like here. That would be all I think is missing, Jeff. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And Nate, you might be in the same boat as me. I have parents reaching out to me on through email asking about a variety of topics, all that really tie back to this issue of openings that are going to be filled or are not going to be filled. Particular concerns over special education.
Special ed.
Yeah. So it's important. It's important to me to be able to understand, but also so that we're accurately, presenting the situation to the parents of the district as well.
Agreed.
And so it's great to be able to understand it.
but I like, this is good. This is exactly what I needed.
Yeah, me too.
And I'll dig in. I mean, this is great. So thank you guys for putting this together. I know it's not easy to put this together. I do this for a living too. It's not easy. Throwing it all together when people breathing down your neck, where's my numbers, right? So thank you. Is this, when we get, this is the annual budget, do we have this, is it broken out monthly? Does it change much monthly? That would be significant that we should see that, or like an annual view of it, like, you know, a month by month view of it. Does that exist? Should it, you know, should it exist?
Are you looking for projections?
Yeah. I think as the committee review this, it would be nice to look at it by month. Here's our expenses for the month. Here was our budget for the month.
So that is part of what we get each month.
Okay.
You get that report. Package. I should say for education, it looks a little bit different than it does for business, because a lot of times you may spend a large amount of money up front at the beginning of the school year. Okay. It's not spread out. You know, we have $100,000 budgeted in an area, we may spend 90 of that before school starts. Mm. It's not spread out over 12 months. So it makes it a little difficult, but Bonnie can do a good job of getting all the fixed cost.
Right.
In that category.
And like in June, we're going to have $125,000 extra on that, starting to pay back the Walton Family Foundation. So that's,
yeah.
You know, everything else is kind of paid by the month as far as the rent or loans. That one will be a one-time, one-fell-swoop of $125,000 in June, so.
And I can give you kind of a general idea of what your expenses look like, and it's usually about 70% for in staffing, about 20% fixed costs, and about 10% that you actually have some control over how you're going to, you know, spend the money or make decisions based upon what curriculum or what type of technology or all those type of things. Now, the thing you shouldn't forget is, those categorical funds, those restricted funds, do come into play, and they're very important. They do fill a need. And we always want to do a good job of spending those dollars first before we start spending our money. I always say we always want to spend other people's money before we spend our money, right? So you guys don't get a large sum of that, but I think that they've done a good job in meetings with the principals, technology folks, Aaron, trying to make sure that we spend that money wisely. I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
And I wanted to tell y'all, the board reports for this year are the same ones that y'all have been using last year. And they're not going to show the budget yet. So there's no projections yet because y'all haven't actually approved the budget. But starting next month, they will.
Okay.
And we're Nate and I are both rookies, so we wouldn't even know the difference anyway.
Well, and, you know, you never know. Sometimes from one year to the next, you may pay a bill late, like an insurance bill. And then there's going to be variances no matter what. I can't do it. This is my 30th year. I can't project, you know, exactly how much there is going to be spent every month because, you know, something could happen in a building. You have to replace a HVAC unit or something like that. So. Yeah.
An annual predicted budget with month to month, and expected versus actual, standard things, and that works just fine.
And then Ken, we talked at one point in time about maybe using just some reports directly out of eFinance instead of these reports that have been used in the past. Howard, I don't know if y'all are just familiar with those and if you're kind of married to those reports or.
I say whatever provides more clarity for the board in whole.
I think the reports are a little kind of, I think some of them are a little redundant in a way right now. So that's something we can look at in the future though.
We'll look at some of the e-finance reports. I like a lot of them myself. I really do.
I like the pictures myself.
Well, I got the CFAM software. I can print some of those out as well.
I do have a question for you, Kenny, and Ken and Bon. You know, we always run pretty tight from year to year. And I guess my question at a high level, who is actually monitoring what we're spending before we spend it to make sure we're not having an adverse impact to our budget?
Bonnie, you want to go through the process that goes taking place?
Well, I will tell you right now, we and Debbie's done a really good job with, we're doing requisitions in the system. And I think right now the principals get like a paper request. We're working towards the principals actually being able to go in the system. And right now Matt can approve some of them that he normally would have just gotten a piece of paper and written, it's okay to spend this. But I will tell you the principals, they have been great. Like I said before, they are trying really hard to, like we, a month and a half ago, we were kind of going over budget stuff and they're like, we don't need this. We don't need this. They're being there very thoughtful about it. And they also, maybe for the first time, are more aware of what the budget is, even in their activity funds. And they're taking ownership in where things should be budgeted. Like they're already saying, you know, let's use federal grants, let's use ESA money. So I think you will see this year, but maybe the first time, a lot of those funds are going to be spent down instead of spending, you know, your operating balances.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, Howard, I think your procedure's important, obviously. Requisition, approvals. You know, ultimately, the normal is the school leader is the one that makes that approval, right? It's not going to be Bonnie making that approval. We do what we're, you know, we'll assist, we'll provide guidance. We don't make the decisions on approving or not approving purchases for the school. Okay. Now, if we see something that's wrong, we're going to let them know, but that'd be up to the school leader there. I think we can visit with him and have a good process there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that if there's a written procedure or something down. What's the process, I guess, right?
Right now, a requisition is entered, and once it's converted to a purchase order, approved and converted to a purchase order, it becomes an encumbrance. So that actually will come off of your budgeted balance right then. So you are not, oh, I forgot I budgeted, you know, I did a PO for $5,000, it's going to already show coming off of that budgeted balance. And that's the good thing about using the e-finance system, I think, to do your requisitions and purchase orders, because that gives you a more accurate, you know, there's going to be changes, there's going to be sales tax, there may be shipping that somebody hasn't thought of, mm-hmm. but you've got a pretty good start on what your expense is going to be.
Sure.
And the thing the new members should know is that every school in the state of Arkansas uses the same system, eFinance Plus. So we're all in the same accounting system. We're all in the same student system. We all use the same system. So what's good in one school is good in another. That's the reason I had access to such good data a minute ago for all the schools on our software. It's because the state posts that once a month and I pull it. So I get the information for everybody.
Good.
Good deal. Anything else we need to talk about, guys?
Oh, I'm good.
That was great. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes that stuff. I do, so I get excited. Sorry.
And I can't. I don't say that.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, and you guys take care. We'll see you at the board meeting, I guess.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Thank you. Bonnie, thank you, Ken. Thank you, board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys. Thank you.